everyone! Welcome to episode 14 of season 2 of Contact Lost, your weekly source of in-depth analyses of the Polish and international Warhammer 40k competitive scenes. And today, back from his break, is the young, the handsome, Joker!
Hey guys!
And then, to talk about the main topic of this episode, about the last big tournament that Poland has seen this season, we brought not one, but two special guests, two experts. I give you Duda.
Hello.
Hi, dude. And Kupcio.
Feels good to be here again with you guys. Hello.
And it's great to have you as well. So, listen, guys, we decided to invite these two exquisite gentlemen because it so happened that they actually won the tournament that we're going to talk about. So Duda came first, Kupcio came second. Since I think no one really knows a lot about this tournament, we thought that it would be a fantastic idea to mention it, to explain how it went and so on. It was, I think, by international standards, that was like a small GT, right? 40 players? Does that qualify as a GT abroad? I think so. I think it's qualified.
They qualify everything as a GT in UK, US, as far as I know. So
right. Basically, it's not like this, that every tournament that is played on GT rules is a GT. Isn't it like that?
I thought it was about the number of players as well, that it needs to have a certain amount to qualify, but I don't exactly know how many.
Maybe in Poland, for ITC major or like this, it's a quantity of players, but...
It is a possibility, sure. In Poland, we call it a challenger. But yeah, never mind what kind of tournament it was. We had 40 people, singles tournament. So I guess, yeah, let's talk about the tournament itself. Was there anything special about the format of the tournament, guys? So do that. Were there any house rules, 2,000 points, right? Any specific missions?
No. Everything was like standard WTC 2,000 rules. No house rules, nothing like this.
Okay, and how about terrain? Was it according to the WTC maps, or was it like the Polish version of the terrain?
It was 100% WTC maps, from tables 1 to like 20. It was like first WTC terrain, second, and going like this to the 8, and again 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the 8, and again. So there was the variety of terrains, the variety of setups, but they were all from the WTC maps.
Okay, that's really cool. And then I've heard before the tournament, long before the tournament, that you know, the Polish scene is contemplating and considering introducing some house rules. So that's why the tournament was initially called Polhammer, I think, because some Polish additional rules were supposed to be introduced. Did that happen?
Finally, did not. Basically, after a few tournaments earlier, the community and the organizers decided that there is no need for such house ruling.
Okay, all right. So it was all normal, down-to-earth rules, nothing extraordinary.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Kupcio, I said 40 people there. Was the army spread quite even, or did you see the domination of any single faction in the tournament?
I think that there were plenty of orcs there. I think there were six orcish players, but I got the chance to play against orcs. And six Drukhari, if I'm correct. So mostly those two factions. Later on, it was more or less around three of most of the factions. I think there were three guards, three Grey Knights, three Admechs. So less players playing Admech now after the Blunting patch. I think we were experiencing almost all of the codexes. Oh, Necrons. There were plenty of Necrons there.
Right. So when you were talking, I pulled up the stats. So I see, as you said, six orcs, six Necrons, six Drukhari, five Renegade Knights. That's quite a lot. four Space Marines, 3.5 Guard, 3 Abnec, 3 Tyranid, 3 Sisters, 2.5 Grey Knights, 1 Demon Army, 1,000 Sons, 1 Death Guard that I think the guy didn't make it to the tournament eventually. And yeah, that's it. So is that a healthy spread, Duda? What do you think?
It's like a normal spread, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because on the one side, people just bring the armies they have. So not all of the players are like meta chasers or like this. And most of them, I think, just bring the army that they have. And the second factor is the power of the army. So the people that has more than one army can bring the better one, because why should they bring the weak army to the tournament when they have access to the stronger one?
Okay. But when you look at the spread, to be honest, I was expecting more Tyranids, and I'm also surprised by the number of Grey Knights and Thousand Sons, because I would expect, you know, those are the armies from, I don't know, well, top 8. And yet, it doesn't seem like there's a big showing of those armies. But 5 Renegade Knights, what's going on there? Duda, you should know, because you played the army. So why have they suddenly become so popular?
After the balancing patch, they just got buffed, and they are cool. This is a very good army right now, and people just bring them because it's also fun to play, and you have good army with fine gameplay. So I think that's the reason.
And come on, guys, who doesn't like big scary robots? Tell me,
true.
Who doesn't like this?
Yeah, and also I think there was some box a few years ago with the 2 army girls and Necrons, I guess, like Admech versus Necrons. So a lot of people had a lot of army girls from that point, but no, never used them. But you have them, you know the situation. You have the models, but you cannot use them because they suck. And suddenly they begin to do anything. So it's the first time you can set them up on the tournament and play. So why won't you do this? It's cool that you can finally take the model from your shelf and just use it in the game.
I think, Micho, that it is a mix of having just a few models, so the battles are quick, big robots, so everybody likes robots, and the army recently got buffed. The mix of those three.
I don't tell that there is one factor for it. There is few factors.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, this was the last big tournament of the season. For you guys, was it about taking the winning list, or was it about, for example, experimenting towards something that you anticipate is going to happen in next year, or preparation for tournaments in the next, hopefully, full season? What was, I mean, Duda, you started talking about your army, why you took it, but Kupcho, Admech, do you know it already? Do you know it well, or was it still an experimentation phase?
No, it was not. It was not experimentation phase. It was practice. I need to practice Admech. I practice much more because I'm pretty fresh to this army, and this army. When you look at the balancing patch that came out recently, you will think that, okay, Admech, that was a super good army, just, air quote, just lose 200 points on regular rosters, and they are limited to two aircraft. So from 4, we need to go down to 2 aircraft. So at the first glance, it's not a big, very big nerf to admit, but then when you actually play it, and when I was playing new Admech, I was really surprised on how big impact it had. And Admech is far from it was. Those 200 points more, those 2 aircrafts less, and really this army right now is definitely a very good army. It's very difficult to lose playing Admech, because still you have a lot of special rules, a lot of assets, a lot of You have everything basically. You have lots of infantry. You have quick, fast, and very good anti-tank weapons. So it's a very good army. But now you can actually play and have fun playing. It's not that you feel that mech, you won. Basically, this is what we were talking about when I joined you guys the last time after the Polish team championships when I was playing Hadmech. So now it's totally different story, and I need to practice. I'm going to play Hadmech because Guard is not where it should be. So the only army that I have right now on my shelf is Hadmech, and again, now I can say it because it's not that Hadmech is super good and it's killing everybody. For a long time I wanted to collect Hadmech. I really liked the setting, the look and feel of the models, the story behind it, etc. And I'm kind of the guy that really, for example, I never play other army than Imperium. I only play Imperial Forces because I split up of Filthy Chaos and Filthy Xenos. So I'm this kind of a guy that I'm not going to play, for example, Rukari only because they are the best. So now I can play Hadmech, but I need to practice. And that was it. I took the roster that I was slightly modified after the balancing patch, but I foreseen a few things. I've seen that there will be a lot of knights. The Necrons are also more elite, let's say. Basically, you have more tougher units, so you need to have a lot of Pepans. So I basically Polish expression anti-tank weapon.
Sorry, guys.
If you didn't correct yourself, I wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was speaking the tablet probably, yeah. The anti-tank weapons. So basically, I took up two aircrafts from my roster. I paid additional points for all of the other models. And I added two more Iron Strider Ballistari with last cannons. So basically, the roster was the same. I've seen that two other Admechs, guys are experimenting. I think that now Lucius plus Mars, still very, very, very powerful combination. And now what I need to do is master the roster. And you can only master it when you play it. So that's why I went to the last big tournament in Poland, because I wanted to practice simply with my Adeptus Mechanicus forces. I landed in the second place. Very good. I'm very happy. But mostly I wanted to practice and also look at the meta a little bit because, again, this season was not full yet due to the current situation across the globe.
Okay. We'll get back to how you got that second place. But, okay, you've told us about your list, so that was very good. Very nice of you. In that case, Duda, what exactly did you take in those Renegade Knights?
It's a two detachment list. First is Iconoclast with custom household that gives you one reroll to hit in every activation. And the second trait is that when it comes to movement, you always take the top row of the movement, so and get plus one to the movement. So your small knights always move 15, even if they have one wound left. And in this detachment, there was five war dogs with combat weapons and Magaera. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Magaera, maybe.
And in second detachment, it was Infernal on Vex6 household with three combat war dogs and two Moiraxes with combination of Lightning Clock and Volkite something. I don't know how. What's the second part of the weapon name?
Right. Whoever's listening, if you're a native speaker, please let us know how to pronounce Magaera and Volkite Velgler.
Volkite Culverin.
Yeah. Now, Culverin is the Contemptor weapon. That's not the one. So, let us know. I don't know how you're going to tell us in a comment, but never mind. Right, and I guess, sorry
for interrupting you, but I just saw the name of this game, of this weapon, and I don't know how to pronounce it. So
can you paste it in the chat in Facebook or something?
Yeah, of course. I have it open. I will place it. Go on, Joker. Sorry for interrupting.
Right, so where was I? Duda. And some points left for summoning, I presume?
Yeah, it's 90 points for summoning. Without it, the knights have a big issue about making some secondary points.
Yeah, because they're yet to have a codex one. All right, so guys, let's swiftly jump onto the games themselves. So, Kupcho was talking for far too long. So, Duda, let's carry on with you. Your first game, who did you play and how did it go?
It was against Admech with the combat setup. It was like 25 the Rust Stalkers, the eight chickens with last cannons and boats and the characters and all the stuff that you need to do the mission. So few fives of guys, of small guys and like this. But the main force was like the Rust Stalkers. So the plan for the opponent is to forward deploy from the stratagems and just don't let me go out of my deployment zone, which works only if he starts the game. And he started the game. So he do the plan. He forced me to lose one turn just to clear all his units that were within my deployment zone so I can get out of it. And that led him to score for 2-3 turns, basically, because in other case, I would just jump off the deployment zone and probably penetrate his deployment zone in second turn. But as I said, he started, so he blocked me. And I slowly killed him. There was no enough force into his army to destroy all the knights. I, of course, lost some of them, but it was not enough to break the critical mass point. And in turn three, I was already in the three quarters on the objectives. He was pushed to one quarter of the table, and I slowly finished the game scoring and don't letting him scoring. So it was like 18-2 at the end of the match.
Right. And what do you think of that Admech list, which is not the typical, let's say, the most common one?
It's very, it's of course, it's, as you said, not typical one, but it's the biggest issue of that kind of list is that it's very start dependent. Mm-hmm. Because you can forward deploy your combat units. If you start, you can just go charge your opponent in his deployment zone, block him, do some damage and all the stuff. But the problem starts when you do not when you lose the starting game roll.
The roll off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the roll off, and then your units are basically set up in the middle of nowhere, in front of army of your opponent, so he can just go, shoot something else behind you and then charge you. So you give the free charge to your opponent. I know players like to play this way because it gives you big amount of points when you can win the roll-offs, but in the practical, for the tournament, it's not so good because you need to have stable army that better give you 5 times 12, 13 points than the role of army that can give you 20 or 0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. All right, Kupcho, what about you? Game number one.
So I was playing against Thousand Suns, and that was actually really nice because I haven't had a chance to play against the Thousand Suns with my Admech, and here I don't know if this is also the opinion outside Poland, but here in Poland, many people are saying that Thousand Suns are basically Admech's pain. and I was eager to check it. Even my opponent told me at the very beginning of the battle that he's very happy that he's going to try his skills and his army against Admech again, because he played against Admech so far 3 times and he scored 2 times 20-0 and 1 time 19-1. So actually, as you can see, I was playing against all the odds. And what can I say? This game was won by the infiltrators. Basically, I played them. So from the very beginning, the Thousand Suns, Scarab, Occult, Terminators, they had really limited space to land. I had a chance to go first, so I even make them this space smaller with my movement. And there was a case. My opponent could wait around to kill with everything else that he had, those infiltrators, so he could have a free hand to land wherever he wanted with the Terminator squad, or he was landing in the place where I chose for him. And he decided not to lose a turn, not to lose the firepower. He used all defensive spells and he landed in the place that I carefully chose and prepared for him. He landed there. He killed something, not that he expected, because again, many people, they really don't consider the Admech blobs with all the buffs as tough as they really, really are. And he thought that with 20 shots from the Reaper cannons, he will be able to kill at least half of squad. And he killed like 4 models or something. So he landed with the Terminator squad in the middle of my entire army. My entire army shot at him. I killed the Terminators, and starting from the round number 3, I was slowly pushing forward, killing more and more Rubric Marines and all the all additional stuff that he has. And if I remember correctly, all of the Thousand Suns died, or maybe there... No, there was one Psyker that survived this genocide. I won 18-2. I was close to 20-0, but unfortunately I didn't get some charges that I needed to charge the Rubric Marines that were on the objective markers, to charge them with my troops, with Rangers, and those were like charges at 5+ or something, and I didn't score the charge there, so I lost some additional points to his banners and to him controlling the objective, and those were basically those 10 secondary points that gave us the result of 18 plus 2. But basically I was ready for another round to drop one of my blobs in the middle of the, if he wouldn't go with Terminators in the first round, I was ready to drop my Rangers in the middle of the battlefield again, giving him some space that I've chosen for him to teleport his Terminators. So I was kind of controlling the game. The one important note that we need to add here is that it was not completely optimized Thousand Sun list. It could be done better, but anyway, he had Rubric Marines, he had 15 Terminators, he had a bag of Psykers, some Contemptor Dreadnought, some Hellbroods with Last Cannons, Ultimatas, etc. So basically like some good stuff. And that's it.
Okay, and from the, like, you know, to do good journalism, let's just shout out, you played Oko, right? That was the guy who...
That was the guy. I already had chance to play against him for the second time, but the first time we were playing, I was actually playing the guard, because in our local tournaments here in Warsaw, sometimes I take guard and I play as a guard player, because I can't live without my guard.
All right. Duda, how about your second game?
It was against Grey Knights and Astra Militarum, the guard. It was
who
like
did you play, by the way? Was it Dadamotsky or?
Forfeiter.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like 1,000 points of Grey Knights with the two Dread Knights, one Commander Dread Knight, and 3x5 guys. And from the guard, it was 3 Basilisks, I guess, a Manticore, and the Pask with Demolisher Cannon. And there is no big history here, so basically, as we all know, or should know, the guard doesn't do any damage, even though the profile seems to be turbo anti-tank or like this. So in practice, with the 4+ BS D3 damages, this don't work this way as it should. And I started, I killed some of the tanks, I depleted some wounds on Dread Knights. I guess I did less than I should, but it didn't change that much because in his counter shooting, he killed, I guess, 2 baby knights and half the big one. And in my second turn, I just charged on his lines on all those guard vehicles. I finished shooting the Dread Knights, and slowly but purposefully, I was killing him. He had no arguments to counter me. And at the end of the game, there was only his Dread Knight commander on the table, because I just didn't want to shoot him, because then he would teleport and gain some table. So I just ignored him for all the game. And it ended 20-0 to me.
Okay. And a question out of curiosity, because I'm not entirely sure how it works. When you mix Grey Knights and something, for example, guard, do Grey Knights lose their special abilities? Or...
Yeah, they lose the Tides of Warp.
Okay, so it's actually quite meaningful. Was there any, like, did you speak to the guy? Was there any specific reasoning why he mixed those armies, or was it just because he felt like it?
It's Forfeiter is a specific guy. He always tries to do something out of box. And the reason for this combination, as he told me, is that he expected to play a lot against no-loss Tyranny's army.
Mm.
And he decided that then the Manticores, the Basilisk, if he wins the roll-off, should be able to clear the Hive Guards, and then it should be easy win for him. But unfortunately, he didn't hit any Tyranny's army. But the idea was, let's say, okay.
Yeah, the reasoning makes a lot of sense. It's just win some, lose some, I guess, and it wasn't his day pick, probably, on that particular day. All right, moving on to Kupcha's game 2.
Just to add to the previous game, that the guys, there is no way the guardsmen and their no-loss shooting will win, even if they start against two squads of heavy guards. There is no such a thing in this galaxy. So just to add, this is worth trying, but it can't work. And speaking about my game, I was actually playing against Tyranids, but the sneaky one. So I was playing against Danny, our British friend, but that lives here in Warsaw, and he comes often to the tournaments. And he brought Xenocult to the tournament. I don't know if this is classic Xenocult or not, because I haven't seen. It should be Genocult, right? Not Xenocult. I haven't seen classic Genocult or Genocult at all for a long time already. So let's say that he brought something classic. So it was 7 of those transport vehicles with autocannons, a lot of squads, some to close combat, some miners with those mining lasers. So a lot of light infantry with heavy weapons, plus those bikers, with sniper rifles that gives plus one to hit to your units, some ciphers, these gunslingers, etc., etc., etc. So let's say, oh, of course, Patriarch, etc. So let's say that it was classical. Danny started, and thank God that he started, because with all of the blips, I would not be able to do anything, and I would only lose a round, and he would start anyway. So he started. I took all of the defensive buffs to my Admech army, and to remind everybody, the defense buffs all my Martian models, so all the Iron Striders and the aircrafts, they've taken shock zone, so it gives them the benefit of the light cover. Plus, I took the Doctrina Imperatives of plus one armor save, and in this concealed position, as I was waiting for Danny, and Danny shot at me with everything that he had. So basically, I think that those vehicles are called Goliaths. So with those Goliaths, with this autocannon shooting against my vehicles, using Sharpstorm and Doctrina Imperatives of plus one save, it's not very good shooting autocannons with AP minus one. The cutting lasers, the mining lasers, they were better to shoot at me, but it was like 8 lasers there. Most of them, they shoot at the planes because they've seen, they could see the aircrafts. So they shoot against the aircrafts and against the aircrafts. You know, guys, they were hitting at 4 up, then they were wounding on 4 up, then I had 4 up armor safe, and then the D6 minus 1. So there was not really a big chance that they will do any serious damage to those aircrafts. So he killed a few Rangers. Maybe, I'm not even sure about that. He inflicted some damage on the Iron Striders and aircraft that I very quickly healed with my Tech Priest. And that's it. And then it was my shooting. And in my shooting, I destroyed 4 trucks. I killed around 40 of his light infantry. Basically, one of the flank disappeared completely.
Yes.
Basically, that was the case, and that was precisely, this sound was precisely what Danny was doing when I was shooting. I need to admit it, that Danny had rolls below average. Just to give an example, anytime he was rolling for the units inside the transport, he was rolling instead of 1.5 once. So from one vehicle, one guy dies, from the other vehicle, two guys dies. He always had 2 plus guys dying. So, culmination, there was one beautiful moment that I have to describe from this battle. I wouldn't say that Danny will consider it beautiful, but actually...
Yeah, Danny, if you're listening, you might want to turn your volume down right now.
Danny, I'm going to tell them the story about your Psyker and Gunslinger. So there was a Psyker, next to the Gunslinger, and they both were 3 wounds, because the Psyker got 1 wound from the exploding Goliath, the Gunslinger got 2 mortal wounds from this explosion, and the Psyker was rolling for mass hypnosis against my aircraft. And he scored 6s, so Peril of the Warp. Danny didn't have command points to reroll this, because he needed to 3 command points to move D6 toward my units after attacking from the below. Decided to roll on 5 plus, this guy was dying, and he died, obviously, so he exploded. So Danny needed to roll for mortal wounds for the gunslinger that was next to this guy, and obviously he rolled 5, so 3 mortal wounds, so gunslinger was dead. And
poor Danny.
Then the finest part of this story is that, as one of the secondary objectives, I've chosen grind them down. So basically, for more units killed, you get 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
In that round, Danny killed one of my units with this guys attacking from below. He killed one of my blobs. He killed one unit, but in the same round, he killed two of his units. So he basically did drain them down for me before I even started my round. So
that's so bad.
I told him that he's the nicest guy I have ever met in tournaments doing this to his opponents. Anyway, I was pushing the cold again. They disappeared. I hear there was not even one model left. I killed them all, and it was 18-2. What I need to tell is now it's extremely difficult to get 20 points out of the game. Because he in previous game in Thousand Suns there were one model left and I scored 18. Here I killed all of them, and I healed all of them in the round number 4, I guess. So I had entire round just to get the table. And again, it was 18-2. Yeah. Big difference between the power of the codexes. Also, I don't know if you can get anything better in Jinoku right now. Who knows? But that was it. His shooting did nothing. My shooting did everything. That's
well,
it.
then you know, to close it off and to also to give credit where credit is due. I mean, Danny was playing probably the one of the least played armies, not only on the Polish scene but in general globally. Yeah, and he still, you know, had a top 10 finish. He came ninth with 3 wins and 2 losses, which I think, you know, deserves a round of applause, because come on, that's
no,
it
and
has
I,
to be down to skill, not shooting and so on.
And he has my all respect that I can give to him, because he told me at the very beginning, I asked him why not Tyranids, and he told me, I didn't bring Tyranids with me because playing Tyranids with Leviathan Hive Guards is not fun for you, not fun for me. I want to have fun out of this game.
Yeah,
this
he told me the same in Discord.
Yeah, this is precisely what I think I was telling also to you guys here on this podcast after the Polish National Championship, why I'm not going to play Admech beyond this tournament, before they get Gani nerf. Because simply playing this kind of army that you just fill your army and you tell your opponents that they can basically take off from the table their army, this is not fun for you, not fun for the opponent, definitely. But for me, it's zero fun also. So
yeah.
I totally respect him for taking a worse army purely to challenge himself.
Yeah, an absolute legend. So kudos to him. Right, moving on, because we need to be conscious of time. Duda, the two of you actually... the two of you actually met midway through the tournament, and the third game was Duda versus Kupcio. So I'll have Duda start. How did it go? What was the game plan? Were you happy with the result?
Well, basically, we decided to take a split points and then play just for test. So it was like we took the 10-10 result with 0 secondary points and then just played a test game. And Kupcio started this game. He took all of his shooting against me. I guess you killed Kuba, right? Two knights, two baby knights. And
that is correct, yes.
Yeah, and crippled 3 of them, I think. So then in my turn, I took a revenge and it went very well. In this case, I killed both of the planes and 2 of the chickens, I think.
Four,
okay. And that's the point in which the Admech loses its critical mass. And then I was able to just go through the table, losing some knights during the game, but not enough for Admech to force me to back. And it finished like 14-6 in this case, but we both agreed that it's not like this all the time. Basically, it's a good pairing for Admech, and let's say average one, not the good one, not the bad one for knights, because Admech has like advantage because of the all the last cannons and all the shooting. But when something goes a bit less than shoot it, then it should like on average. So you do not deal enough damage to the knights, or the knights did more damage than they should on your army, the game starts to swing on the knight's side, on the side of the knights. But still, it's very, very role dependent, because there is a lot of rolls on D6, I don't know, 2 hits, 2 damage. There is small amount of big shoots. I don't know if you understand what I mean. So the variance is very high here, and it really, really can make a difference on the final result.
Okay, do you think...
A lot of single rolls, basically.
Yeah. Do you think that this game would have been even more in your favor, Duda, should you have started this game? Because you said that Kupcho started. If you had started, would it have been even more one-sided?
Yes, because if he started, he did the same what the first Admech did to me. He just blocked me, so I cannot expand on the table. Because Kuba put 2 units of his infiltrators just straight in front of my army, in case if he start, he just come and stay 1 inch away from me, so I don't move the baby knights in the first turn, further than my deployment zone. And if I started, I would just go, probably do not kill the chickens because I wouldn't see them, but probably kill the planes because I see them anyway, but charge, and on the first turn of Kuba, all of my models, or most of them, would be just in the middle on the table. So let's say he did the same damage as he did on our game now, but my models start after his shooting, my models are in the middle of the table, so I just next turn can go and charge on his lines in his deployment zone. This is what I think it should happen if I started, but yes, you can correct me if you think otherwise.
Yeah, go on, Kupcho, your side of the story now.
No, first of all, I need to say how lucky Michał was. I was super lucky. No, I'm kidding. Basically, this is what happened. I do not agree with Michał in some points. And starting from the very beginning of the battle, I agree that Michał would be further into the middle of the table. However, still, my infiltrators, they basically blocked every Imperial Knight, Renegade Knight movement on the table, because I was 9 inches from his deployment zone, blocking all the passages. So there was no way that Michał would move his knights beyond my line of infiltrators. Obviously, it would be 9 inches more, but anyway, I feel that my infiltrators, if I wouldn't be starting, then Michał wouldn't be right in front of my deployment zone. So that's the first thing here. Second is that I agree with the outcome. I don't agree with the statement that it's a good pairing for Admech, because again, if we're talking here about the dice, what the dice are going to roll, and the dice were on Michał's side in this game. But again, those are the few dice that we are rolling, because we have, I don't know, I have 14 last cannons shooting, right? So what does that mean? 14 dice rolling. Michał has how many? 8 Melta cannons, some Volkites. Again, this is not a big amount of dice that we're rolling here. And it's very easy that luck can swing from one side to another. We agreed that in laboratory conditions, it should be 12, 13 points for Admech, maybe. But again, it's not a good pairing if, with the even slightest swing of luck, this is this critical mass that we're talking about. I will not kill what I should. I mean, even one knight less that I should. Michał will kill 2 Iron Strider Ballistari more than he should. and this swing is already too big for me to handle, for Adeptus Mechanicus to handle. The same for knights. If instead of killing two knights and crippling two knights, I would kill four knights or I would kill five knights, which is possible with so many last cannons plus the infantry shooting. Then on the other hand, knights, they have half of their forces. So on the other hand, there is a swing. So it is not good pairing for any of those. So if my captain would ask me, do you play against this? I would say, yes, but this is the pairing where something can go wrong and slip out of my hands. So this is one thing. And second thing, in this pairing, very important thing is the table and the mission. Basically here, both table and mission, they were a little bit in favor of Imperial Knights. Why is that? Because the table was pretty open. We played, Michał, remind me, we were playing on the fourth table.
I don't remember, four. But there was like five forests.
On the fourth five, table, yeah. That was.
Five or six forests, a lot of forests, not many ruins. Basically, in the middle of the table, you had just two big ruins placed in the rest of them, it was open space. So it was, I think, in favor of Knights. Plus, it was this this mission that when you control the objective, you can move out of the range of the objective, and until the opponent takes it back, you still control it. So for Knights with very limited number of models, this mission is perfect because Michał could take control over the objective and then move on to another objective. Because if I remember correctly, Michał, at the end of the game, you had two small Knights crippled and one Magera with not even one single wound received. So I think that even though losing almost all of my anti-tank shooting, the infantry pretty well managed in killing those knights. So that's it. Nothing more I can say about this game. The rest knows.
Well,
a very interesting game though, as always against this lucky bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say thanks to both of you for those very interesting insights on that particular matchup. However, moving on, Duda, game four then. Who and with what was waiting for you on Sunday morning?
Yeah, so there will be not that much history here because it should be Vlad with his Tyranids. So I was expecting to lose. To lose the game, but Vladi just dropped the tournament with some personal reasons, so I just got a free frag here, and I can only say that it was pure luck to me to get the positive result from the matchup that I should lose, and on the fourth game, on the first table, basically. So, yeah.
So if I can contribute here, I think one of the personal reasons was me, because I asked Vladi, how his tournament went, and he told me that he had two sleepless nights, one because he was visiting his family, and one because he was recording the previous episode of the podcast with me. So he went into the tournament completely knackered and actually unable to think properly. So that's one of the reasons he had to.
Yeah,
drop.
So thank you, Twig. Yeah, that's
then
nice
thank you. Then thank
my
you
pleasure. Right, I need to make sure that we record an episode before every tournament so you guys can win. Kupcio, your fourth game then.
So my fourth game was legendary because I played against the top Astra Militarum player in Poland, Cyril, my very good friend. We both playing guards for a long time. I think I'm playing guards slightly longer, but anyway, he didn't betray guard, and I did, unfortunately, right now when guard is the bottom tier of codexes. He's still playing it, and he was playing it also on this tournament. So that's why the game was legendary. Two big Imperial players, Imperial guard players, one traitor of the Imperial Guard, and the second one loyal to the end. Needless to say that everybody from the audience was supporting Guard with all their heart. Even I have to admit that even deeply in my heart, I was supporting Cyril and his Guard. And before the game, I told him that every Guardsman that will lose his life during our game will be later on treated with all honors. That's good that I said that, because most of, if not all of them, died in the course of the battle. What can I say? Cyril started the game.
So he played science, right?
Tempest to science. And mm-hmm. Yes. Very good point. Thank you for, because I was going to move forward because Joker is chasing us with the time. So that's why I was going to move forward. But okay, I will stay a little longer. Tempest to science roster. A lot of science with a lot of plasma guns. Command squad with Melta guns, some Tower of Cis Prime, one Valkyria. To be honest, this is a very good roster. I was considering playing this roster one, slightly different, but I was also thinking about playing this kind of roster. However, I do not have that many Tempest Science models in my possession, so I couldn't feel this army, because this is for sure a lot of fun to play, and against some armies it really can be good army. Also, Cyril won, I think, two out of five battles that he played. He lost to me, he lost to Vladi, and he won two other battles, and in the last one he also split the points with his opponent. Very funny, nice roster, nice to play. He started. I took my defensive buffs. He managed to kill literally out of all his shooting. Those plasma guns, Tavrogs, Valkyria, command squad. He managed to kill two Iron Strider Ballistari, three infiltrators, and few rangers. But when I say few, I really mean like three or four rangers. And that's it. That's it what he's done. And then I shoot back at him, taking over the table. For him to shoot, he needed to leave the transport, leave the Tauroxes with his science, field everything on the battlefield, etc. So basically all my anti-tank shooting was trying Tauroxes, all my infantry was killing his infantry, and that's it. And then starting from the round, unfortunately starting from the round four, because again, this army is pretty good. He was all the time interrupting me, dropping more science, blocking me, blocking the points, running with orders to get some objectives, etc., etc., etc. He was annoying me with all those guys until round four. And in round four, I was able to finally move on and get the table. But it was too late, and I only scored 16 points from this game. So you see, even though Guard is bottom tier codex and Admech is really, really powerful codex, currently he got 4 points out of this game. 16-4, I scored 16 points, but it was bittersweet victory, because my heart was broken looking at so many guardsmen corpses left on the battlefield.
And Cyril finished 12th, which out of 40 players at the tournament, you know, when we are talking about top players in Poland, I think is a very good score still. So congrats to Cyril. Absolutely. Duda, your final game against an opponent that we already know, right?
Yeah, it was against Danny that was already mentioned here, with the Genstealer Colts. And let's say it's maybe some kind of the same case that Admech versus Chaos Knights. but really in favor for Chaos Knights, because the only way to do anything to the Knights is the mining lasers on the small squads of the Genstealer Cults. And those two units that are combat, but the combat units basically goes one for one, because okay, even if you charge and kill one of the knights, I just in the return I just kill the unit and I get rid of it. And the maniac lasers are, you know, really, really random. They have to hit, they have to wound, then I have to fail the invul, and then comes the d6 roll. So if you roll double six, it's okay because you kill the knight, but if you roll one and three, it basically doesn't change anything, because knight with four wounds beaten is still the same when it comes to killing you in return. And that's what happened. I killed some units in his return with all the mining lasers and all the autocannons. He couldn't kill enough to break my critical mass. And slowly but purposely, again, this is how the knights work. I just pushed, killing the units, opening the tracks. What came out of it, I killed in shooting or charge. And slowly, I just kill him. And those Genstealer Cults simply do not have much arguments against such tanky army like the knights are. So there is, I think, for me in this matchup, there is one chance to break the line if your first shooting just goes very, very well and you kill, let's say, three or four with all the lasers and all the autocannons, but I was calculating it, and I think that's statistically you have to have big luck to do so, and that's why this matchup is really in favor for Chaos Knights. And what's more, in our game, Danny was really bad lucky sometimes. Also, he had some, let's say, the shining points, like his Keller Morph, I guess. The guy with the Gunslinger is a Keller Morph, right?
I think yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he just opened the full Wounds Knight with his shooting. And so it was like, okay, he could do such things. I was really surprised, but this was really good role for Danny, but the rest of the roles was in favor for me. So I wouldn't say that the roles really changed that much, but they, you know, sometimes when the matchup is not in favor to you and also the roles are not in favor to you, you can hardly do anything. So you can just frustrated, you just get frustrated from the outcome of the game, and it finished 20-0 to me with not really a chance for the Genstealer Cult in this case to do anything. And I don't mean it by Danny gameplay, because he played it very well, but the combination of the matchup and the army and the armies and the roles wasn't helping at all for Danny.
Sounds like it was not his lucky weekend then.
It might be.
Right, Kupcha, your game five.
So my game five was against the orcs, but it never happened, because 6 years ago, I played my most important game so far in my life. I got married, and it was my 6th anniversary, 19th of December. So looking at the table, it was Hammer and Anvil with 3 objectives in each deployment zones, and I was playing against the orcs. That game, basically, on this scenario, on this table, it couldn't go more than 12, maybe 13 points each side. So I said, just to prove it, it doesn't really, it is not really worth to spend my anniversary playing this game. So I went to Zozo. He was my opponent. I said how the things are looking, and I propose to split the points. But for me, from my end, it was super clear. I said, Zozo, if you want to play, we can play. if you agree to split the points, I will be happy to split them and go back to my wife. The first one, Zozo was not sure because, you know, anniversary, big deal. But I said, you want to play, we play. That doesn't really matter. This tournament, we play. So he said, at some point, okay, let's play. I brought my miniatures to the table, etc. But the Scar, who was next to us, he also split the points with his opponent. Again, this is what we already said, I think, on this podcast, on the previous podcast that we were recording, that it was this tournament was 1 week before the Christmas, so many people decided to split the fifth battle and go earlier to their places simply because of current situation and incoming Christmas time. So Skark was not playing. Enzo quickly asked Skark if Skark wants to play against him. Skark said, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with it. So said, okay, so I will play Skark. You go with your wife. And I did it. So she was happy, and I have a green line for more tournaments. So everybody is happy.
Congrats on that. That was actually quite a lot of words to say that you never played the game, but we don't hate you for it.
Sorry, guys. Whenever you invite me here, you need to you need to be aware that probably if you ask me about the weather outside, it will take me 30 minutes to describe it in detail. So.
Yeah, noted. Right, you've actually mentioned Zozo, and Zozo finished third at the tournament, so congrats to him as well for that podium finish. However, as he's not here, what do you guys think of his orc list and orcs in general? How do they fit currently, especially that Speed Freak build? Duda, maybe you go first.
Yeah, so this Speed Freaks were considered very much in our community, like in the competitive sense, for example, the national team. And as far as we considered it, we decided that they are fine. They have some tools to play, like shooting after fallback, invul 5+ on your army, advancing and shooting. But they lack of the secondary points opportunities, which really makes the game hard for them. As long as you can kill your opponent, as long as you can survive your opponent with all the stuff you get from Speedfix, getting rid of all the infantry units, which means that you cannot do any secondaries that requires infantry units, like banners, like Octarius and all the stuff, makes this third secondary really hard, because it's the same case as Chaos Knights. You can get one of killing secondary, you can get one secondary that it's like Stranglehold, Table Quarters, or I don't know, to the last, but then it comes with the problem with the third secondary. And in case of Chaos Knights, you can take the banners, you can take the Octarius, simply summon some infantry units and make it work. Then in case of Orcs, you just cannot make it. And if there is no special setup of the match, like, I don't know, you play against Psykers, so you can take Abhor the Witch, you just really lose the points for the third secondary, or you just take some that give you, I don't know, 2-3 points, because it's very, very hard to fulfill it.
Right, so sounds like a bit of a fairly straightforward army that just does one thing and does it really, really well, but then doesn't have options.
Yeah, speaking about options, Duda, when we were talking about the Polish meta back like 3 episodes with Tifos, and we were considering Renegade Knights, I asked you the specific question, which knights are better, the Imperial one or the Renegade ones, and you said without a trace of doubt that renegade ones, primarily because they can summon. So did you summon anything in your games, and did that help you score any secondaries? But have you actually used summoning in this tournament?
Yeah, of course, in every game.
Okay, and what did you summon? Furies or anything more specific?
Yeah, in this case, it was all the time Furies, but I already think it over after a few games, and I decided that in some cases it would be better to, I don't know, summon, for example, a Herald. But yeah, it was like mostly the Furies, and in all the games I took like banners or such thing. Or for example, against the Grey Knights, where I can took the Abhor the Witch, which filled my third secondary, I used them to simply stay on the objective on the back of my deployment, so I can leave it with the knight and go like forward with the knights. Or with the with Danny, I used Furies to screen my army against his deep strikes. But yeah, it's really well when you can bring 10 infantry models that you can spread up and screen or score. That's the very, very cool thing in the Chaos Knights.
Yeah, very cool mechanic that clearly the Imperial ones are missing. So guys, thanks for this summary of your games and of the tournament in general. Once more, congrats on the top finish. Really well done, and very nice way to close the season. And yeah, as we are closing the season, I've seen that in the Polish League Facebook group, somebody posted some stats with a summary of you know, how the season went and what were the top most meaningful armies in the meta. So if I could ask you for 2-3 sentences of summary, you know, of the Polish meta this year. Kupcio, can I start with you? Is the Polish meta behind or ahead the global meta? Where are we, and how does this season, you know, translate to, let's say, WTC next year?
This is a very interesting question and very difficult to answer. Why is that? Because even if you saw these statistics, then you also for sure seen that the guy who calculated this, he said this is only out of 4 tournaments. It's not a very big scope for analysis. So it's very, very, very difficult to say something out of the data here. I think in terms of the meta, this year we are actually more or less aligned with the meta in other countries. Why is that? Because I think the other countries, they opened, I mean, you hear more about the tournaments outside, at least me and my the guys that are around me. We listen a lot about the tournaments that are happening in the foreign boards, other than the tournaments that we are playing here. So I think that we, one way or another, we are sentenced to copy or at least get the lists from the different country influencers. So this is one thing. But on the other hand, for example, I think that we, as the season was not really, really opened here, we only had those 4 big tournaments, we took the meta from the other countries, but we do not really move forward in terms of developing it. And here, the example for me is Trukari. Michał, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I may be wrong, but as far as I've seen, most of Drukhari players, it was still Drukhari, let's say, Kabbalite standard. We didn't have a lot of covens, and from what I hear, on the other side of the ocean, they're mostly playing coven right now. So I think that we are aligned in terms of meta, but this is because of COVID. Next year, I hope, and I'm pretty sure, and this is what we all expect, and I think that this will be happening, the season will be the first normal season since 2019, and I think that next year we will build our own Polish meta that may be slightly different than the meta from the other countries. Also the very important thing just to end here, I do not think that there will be big difference right now between the metas in different countries. Why is that? Think about this, guys. We are much more connected right now. GW is GW is connecting the players across the globe, but also we talk to the people from the other countries. We have Facebook groups where people from all around the world, where we are sharing our observation. The world is much more connected. So I think that now the meta in different countries is going to be much, much, much more similar than it was even a few years ago when we were mostly playing only in our neighborhood.
True. Duda, your take.
What was the question?
The question was, can you describe the Polish meta in a nutshell? So was this tournament indicative of the Polish meta, and is the Polish meta ahead of the global meta, or is it chasing the global meta? What do you think?
So in case of ahead of or chasing, I guess there is no answer for it, because they are simply different, and what we think is good, as far as I know, some kind of global thing sucks, and inverted, like what we think sucks, the global meta thinks is okay. So I think they are simply different, so none of them is chasing or behind each other. And if the tournament or the summary was the state of current meta, I think that meta pretty flipped few times this year, so it's hard to say, because of the chapter approved and of balancing patch and all the new releases in this year, the things that were good and now are not were like changing very, very few times, let's say, because on the beginning of the year the Space Marines were very good, I guess, on the Dark Angels, which are now one of the bottom tier. Then the Drukhari came, then the Admech came, which were rocking the meta. So now the Admech is like mid plus tier, let's say. Only Drukhari are stable on the top, but the rest is very, very mixing all the time. So it's hard to state the meta because of the JW moves, because they still try to improve something, which is very cool. We never see the JW like this. But this makes very, very big rotations all the time, so it's hard to state the meta. I would say that only Drukhari keeps the meta still, and they grip it very, very tight.
So I guess we need a big tournament, the likes of WTC, to be able to tell who's ahead and who's behind.
Guys, I would love to add something here and ask Michał your opinion about that, because actually I read a very interesting article today on the Bell of Lost Souls, which is those guys. They are casual. They do not really are very good in competitive play, but they got very interesting observation that meta with balancing patch, and after the last meta watch published by Games Workshop, basically meta is exactly in the same place as it was 8 months ago, with Drukhari dominating, with this small adjustment that Imperial Knights are doing better. I mean, Knights in general are doing better, and Tyranids are doing a little bit better. But Drukhari dominating the meta, Astra Militarum, Space Marines, Gynocult, Tau, they are low tier, and basically most of the armies are in precisely the same place where they were after the Drukhari Codex, after Adeptus Sororitas Codex, but before Adeptus Mechanicus Codex. So it's a really interesting observation, but indeed that's the case. With the last balancing patch, we are back in the same place we were 8 months ago.
Yeah, it might be this way. Maybe the individual places slightly changed, but yeah, it might be like this.
All right. I'm out of questions. Joker, how about you?
No, I'm out, and I think we've used the time we've had for today. So I guess we'll finish there.
Yeah. So to all our listeners, the lists from this tournament will be made available in the comment section of this video. I'll try to make some photos available as well. And yeah, if you have any questions, any comments, anything like this, make sure you leave a comment in the comment section on YouTube. And we'll try to get Duda and Kupio to also answer some of those questions if there are any. Also, make sure that you subscribe and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and our Instagram, where we try to post fairly regularly as well. It means the world to us because it helps us grow and reach even bigger audiences. And with that, I guess I need to thank our guests. So Duda, Kupio, thank you for your participation. It was a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Joker, for being an amazing co-host as usual.
Yeah, thanks.
And yeah, everyone, thank you as well for listening. And until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.